Next man up, 102.5, the game final hour on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you. It is 11 a.m., and we will update you as soon as the waiver claim news comes out. Titans have top waiver priority across the NFL, likely going to shuffle the back end of their initial 53, which came out yesterday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, waiver claims are being processed as we speak across the NFL, and I'm sure we are moments away from hearing who the Titans have claimed. I said four. I think you're going to get two corners, an edge rusher, and an inside linebacker. The other positions where I think it's possible that you see a waiver claim for the Titans, running back, although with Jordan Mims and Jamar Jefferson likely headed to the practice squad, I think it's unlikely you see a running back claimed. Quarterback is a long shot. But if there is somebody out there that they like better than Brandon Allen, maybe. And, you know, anything else at skill position on the offensive side, maybe there's a wide receiver or a tight end, but I would say unlikely. I think almost all of the waiver claims you're going to see are going to come on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I would think so, because I would be surprised if there was an offensive line claim. I would be surprised if there was a tight end claim. I mean, I know Dulcich from the Giants is a popular guy now because everybody saw him score couple of touchdowns, David Martin Robinson's a core special teams player, and you know I like Chig more than I like Dulcich, so I doubt that. And then you know I guess if you want to bring in a receiver to return punts, but you're not cutting any of your receivers, of the six you've got,
right? Those six are staying, and you mentioned offensive line. It's like you keep 11. You're probably not swapping any of those guys
out. You kept those guys for a reason.
Right.
If you didn't like them, you would have cut them. But you kept 11 because you're like, we really want to hold on to
right.
this guy.
We don't want these guys getting claimed. So
yeah. And look, in the league, there's not a lot of depth out there on the offensive line.
Yeah.
So that's why they protected those guys, because they know everybody's desperate for offensive linemen, and they may view that the Titans have the only undrafted free agent they kept was an offensive tackle.
Yep.
And so if other teams saw that, they may have gotten word. It's like with David Martin Robinson last year. They knew other teams were going to sign him if they cut him. They couldn't get him through to the practice squad.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's the way they feel about Crenshaw as well, is, you know, if we cut him on cutdown day, he's going to get claimed, and we don't want him to get claimed.
Right. Most of the activity on the waiver wire is going to come today, because if you – we talked about how the conversations go with these guys that make the initial 53 but are likely going to be waiver casualties the next day. It's like, you don't want to keep these guys in limbo of like, all right, you made the roster, but 2 days later, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon gets released, and it's like, all right, now we're going to pick him up. I think the Titans, it's a smart move to just hold them off for 24 hours and see if you can sneak him through to the practice squad. The Ravens stealing the show at 11 a.m. Central Time, when waiver claims are supposed to come out. The Ravens have signed Kyle Hamilton to a 4-year, $100 million extension.
I'm guessing that is the biggest deal ever for a safety.
It is, making him the NFL's highest-paid safety by a lot. The next closest, Kirby Joseph at $21.25 million per year, Kyle Hamilton getting $25.1 million per year. So the Ravens... I think the Ravens do the best job in the draft of just taking the sure things. It's like all these other teams are like, you know, we're not going to take Tyler Linderbaum. We can get a center somewhere else. We're not going to take Kyle Hamilton. We can get a safety somewhere else. And like, Ravens are like, we'll take both those guys.
Yeah.
And they'll
every
be stars.
Year the draft comes and goes, and you look at the Ravens and you're like, how did they get all these guys?
Yeah. Every year it's like they took the guys that everybody says that guy is going to be an all pro. But maybe it's not at a premium position. Yeah. They took another safety this year. Was it Jade Barron? No.
I don't know. Who took the kid? Seahawks took the kid from South Carolina, right?
Yes, they took Eamon Worry. That was the pick the Titans had. Malachi Starks, that's who they took, out of Georgia.
That's
It's like Malachi Starks, yeah, he's a safety, but he's the best safety out there. Mm-hmm. And so We talk about how Denard Wilson came from the Ravens and he wants to use the three safety sets, and that's maybe what we could see with Kevin Winston once he gets healthy. The Ravens keep loading up at safety, and Kyle Hamilton will now be in Baltimore through the 2030 season.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said, you know, where GMs just find the best players that they can, and then you go out and you play with them. I always talk about, like, you know, there are teams that passed up on Adrian Peterson because they had a running back. That's not, I don't think that's the way you should draft.
Yeah.
I really think you should find the best players that you can get, and then you go out. And if you have depth at a position, that's great. If not, you have a tradable asset, and that's
right.
Good as well. And I think the Ravens are wonderful, a wonderful example, you know, of being the type of organization that the Titans now say they aspire to be. You know, the Packers as well, where you draft and then you develop. And, you know, the Packers, you know, they've had people screaming at them to draft a wide receiver in the first round forever, but all they ever did was draft the best players on their board.
Right. Every team talks about how we go best player available. But the Ravens are the ones who actually practice what they preach and actually do take the best player available pretty much regardless of position, and it's worked out for them.
Do we believe that Femi was the best player available in the second round?
Nope.
I mean, I think they think his ceiling is high.
Right.
And so they took him based on ceiling and what he can be, but not best player available.
Yeah. I mean, you took Femi Oladejo off of the traits that you think you can coach into a really good pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is central casting. It's like, that's the dude you want to walk off the bus first.
Sure.
Like, Femi is a guy who...
He looks like Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Right. You see that guy, and you're like, yeah, that guy plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's no question
Even
about
the
it.
Even the kicker looks like that.
Joey Sly, yeah. Joey Sly does not look like a kicker.
Nope.
He does not.
He's like a bouncer.
Speaking of which, you mentioned Joey Sly off the air earlier. What a night for Joey on Friday. Making a 63-yard field goal and the double doink that hit off the very top of the
From
upright.
From 53 yards to hit the top of the upright is staggering to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, I just, because he looks like, you know that football game you used to play where you bang the guy in the head and the leg comes forward?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Rock'em Sock'em Robots
or
whatever.
Yeah, but it was the fooch. You just kick field goals all day. I remember playing that with my brother. But, I mean, that's kind of what he looks like. He doesn't look like, you know, the smaller guys with the whippy leg. I mean, he's just beefy.
Yep.
And he just drills it.
And with Joey Sly, it's going to be different than with Nick Folk. Like, I think Joey Sly, you can pretty much guarantee he's going to miss a handful of field goals from inside 45 this year. But he's probably going to make a handful from 55-plus.
Well,
you got to take the good with the bad.
Here's the thing that the Titans were looking at and what they want with Sly. The moment they get to the 45-yard line, they know they've got 3 points.
Right, you're in striking distance.
For 3 points. And it changes the way they attack and call the game. And that is the way they're playing this year, is they know, all right, once we get 45, we've got at least 3 points. We've got to play from that point of view, that we've got a legitimate shot at 3 points. And it, you know, where last year, you're like, okay, get to the 33.
Yeah, get inside of 50 and you feel okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Nick was good from 50, from the early 50s last year.
Yeah.
But I don't think you count on that.
Right.
You know, especially with him getting, I mean, he's in his 40s now. So we'll see if Joey Sly works out. I think this is the year to do it, you know, because, again, nobody's expecting the Titans to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think Joey Sly is going to be kicking from the Arrowhead to try and beat the Chiefs this year.
But if he is, you find out if he's the guy or not.
Right. So it made sense. Titans changed philosophies with special teams this year and brought in Joey Sly. But what a night for him on Friday. Not official, because it was a preseason game, but the longest field goal in Nissan Stadium history, passing Rob Baronis, who made one from 60. Still waiting on waiver claim news. Did just see a signing, though. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has signed with the 49ers.
Oh, gosh.
They are working through a lot of injuries in that receiver room, so they bring in another veteran there. We are waiting to see
He wasn't good yesterday. He wasn't good the day before, and he wasn't good the day before that.
He has had his moments with the Packers, but outside of that, it has not been great. He was with the Chiefs most recently, I want to say. maybe.
Yeah.
It looks like he was down to the Steelers and the 49ers. So, he was with the Seahawks. That's where he was in this preseason. So
it was his brother was with the Bears.
Yes, I think that sounds
right.
And
he was also not good.
Yes, so Marquez Valdes-Scantling is signing with the 49ers, waiting on the Titans waiver claims. They were supposed to process 10 minutes ago. I'm assuming they're working through that and making an announcement as we speak. So we will take a break. Might have some news for you when we come back. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt football begins the season this Saturday at home against Charleston Southern. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. The pregame show starts at 4:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you as we wait for Titans waiver claims to come down. We do have a tweet from Paul Kaharski at paulkaharski.com. Some guys that Blake Bedingfield would have considered claiming for the Titans.
And there's a name on there that we haven't talked about that is absolutely one that I would have looked at.
Isaiah Simmons?
No, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, okay. Yes, I did see some Rams fans were a little shocked to see that Chris Paul Jr., the inside linebacker, not the point guard, or I believe there's a guard, an NFL offensive guard named Chris Paul, too. Different Chris Paul, inside linebacker for the Rams, was listed, along with Juju Brents, Antoine Powell-Ryland, who we've talked about, and a couple of defensive linemen. The Isaiah Simmons one, I get it. Like, dude's talented, but isn't James Williams kind of what Isaiah Simmons is?
Probably.
Of, like, safety-turn-linebacker who's going to do a lot of the same things? So I wouldn't mind bringing in Chris Paul, though.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, I think they need, if they wanted to bring either one of them in, I think they need inside linebacker depth, okay? So that's my opinion. And so I would be good with bringing either one of those guys in, either as a replacement or as an add-on to what they've got, because I kind of like having five there.
Yeah.
That's me. Right now they're at four.
Yes, Curtis Jacobs is the fourth there, and you think he could be a placeholder. I think you can guarantee the Titans are making at least two waiver claims because they kept two extra tackles for almost no reason other than to cycle them through a little bit later. So I would guess we're going to get two, and then the other ones, Curtis Jacobs would be on the bubble, Gabe Judy-Lawley. So
I think we have to put Jalen Harrell on the
bubble. Jalen Harrell would be on the bubble, and then we talked about it. I think Timmy Horn is looking safer and safer as some of these moves with the practice squad come down, but he would also be in that bubble kind of group. More news, as we're getting all of the roster news except for waiver claims right now. Kendrick Bourne has been released from the New England
Bourne
Patriots.
Identity.
So Kendrick Bourne, veteran pass catcher.
Really mediocre.
Yeah, he's fine. And I know there's going to be some Titans fans out there who say they want to bring him in. The Titans, I think, have had plenty of opportunities to go get a veteran wide receiver. Like, Tim Patrick was just traded this morning.
Amari Cooper was out there,
Amari Cooper's been out there. I think the Titans don't want to block Elik Iemanjir and Chim Dike if they don't have to.
No, not for Kendrick Bourne.
Right.
I mean, look, Mike Vrabel didn't want Kendrick Bourne.
Yes. Mike Vrabel just cut Kendrick Bourne. I don't see the Titans having any interest there.
No.
And at wide receiver, we've talked about the six wide receivers they kept yesterday for like 2 months as those are the six wide receivers. They're not going to keep seven, clearly, because they didn't take James Prochet. So I think there's no reason for them to bring in a veteran wide receiver because all you're doing is adding more of a logjam in front of your two young guys who you want to get a read on this season.
Well, there's another guy that's out there, and again, I wouldn't expect them to sign him either, but he's played some special teams, and he's a guy that Mike Borgonzi knows, Mecole Hardman.
Right.
Yeah, I think he got waived yesterday.
Yes.
So, you know, again, he's played in Super Bowls. Mike Borgonzi knows him. I don't know if he's returned punts before. I think he's returned
I think
kicks.
He has. And he, I mean, he's only really been good in Kansas City. It feels like every time he leaves Kansas City, he
can
loses
run.
The magic.
That's one thing. He can run. He is very fast.
And you do need some of that. Like, Chim Dike's got speed, but outside of that, like, Ridley's fast, but he's not take the top off the defense. Like,
he's pretty fast.
No, he's fast, but I'm saying, like, he's not known as, like, your burner. He's more of a complete receiver than that.
Well, he's known as a very good route runner, but
right.
Yeah, he's really
yes.
fast.
I think you could add some speed, but again, a wide receiver.
You never have enough speed.
No, and the one thing you can say about the Titans receiver room is it is faster than it's been in the past.
Absolutely.
The days of Cody Hollister being on the field are over.
Well, I mean, even last year with DeAndre Hopkins and Tyler Boyd,
right.
they were not running at peak speed in their careers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to have, I mean, even Elik Iomanner is a 4.4 guy.
Yeah, no, I mean there is way more speed, and Brian Callahan has said as much that was one of their goals was to add speed to this team and this wide receiver.
Yeah, and you'll hear that every year, but last year they really, I mean, that was a glaring, glaring need.
The
field was
bad.
Smaller for them because they lacked so much speed.
I'm looking for any waiver claims. There's a fake account that almost got me to read that over the air, but a fake account reported Juju Brents was claimed by the Titans, but
They almost got you, huh?
They had 15 followers. I almost read it out like it was breaking news. But
there was one guy who like added an extra P to Rappaport who got me once.
Yeah, it is hard with the blue checks not being actually reliable anymore.
Well, I refuse to pay for it, so I don't.
Right, me neither. I will not pay for Twitter. But yes, the blue checks not being accurate anymore makes it a little bit tough. Titans. Have the number one waiver priority. I have to say, I did not think it would take 20 minutes for them to announce these, because once it's processed, it shouldn't really take too long to announce these. But hopefully we'll have some news about the Titans coming up. Did want to touch on a story, and thank you to Matthew in Nashville on our text line. He's been texting all these different news stories that have come in. Tom Brady, this was announced earlier today.
If this is about him being engaged, I'm going to be really unhappy.
He's not engaged. We're not having two engagement stories in one day. Tom Brady, despite being a part owner of the Raiders, is now being allowed in production meetings ahead of broadcast.
That is so wrong.
It's horrible.
It's so, as a person who's been in those production meetings, that is so wrong.
And you wonder if teams are going to be a little bit more... You know,
I wouldn't tell him anything.
Right? Why would you?
Are you kidding me?
He is an owner with a legitimate stake in an NFL team.
Look, he should only be calling Raider games.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't hate Tom Brady. I'm just saying, I've been in those meetings. I've been in the broadcast booth. No,
it's
not okay. It's not okay.
He made the decision. To buy part of the Raiders.
And by the way, he's not just a silent owner.
No, he is a...
He's a part of the process.
Right. And this... I really just never understood why... I mean, I get it. He's Tom Brady and Fox. You're going to pay just for Tom Brady. But it's like...
But the league allowing it is what...
Right. And you're throwing him in the booth with absolutely no information if he's not in these production meetings. But now it's the question of like... The integrity of, man, you're letting an owner of a team
have
one-on-one talk with players and coaches from every other team in the league.
Yeah. I mean, and number one, you know, you could talk about collusion. He's getting background information on players, possibly talking about things they shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that as well. But again, I mean, is he allowed because generally these guys show up a day or two early and they go to a practice. Is he allowed on the practice field?
He shouldn't be.
No.
Yeah, you're right. Usually the broadcast crews for a Sunday game, I would guess they come in on
Friday.
They watch Friday practice and then production meeting Saturday, and you get ready to go on Sunday. Like, having a part owner of a team, like, what are the Chiefs going to do when inevitably he calls one of their games?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
We play your team twice a year. We're not telling you anything.
I mean, I would say you can sit in the room. We're not going to say anything.
Right.
Well, here's our inactives. All right, there you go.
I think it hurt him as a broadcaster to not be able to be in the rooms because it's like... Part of what you watch these broadcasts for is to hear some of that stuff of the coach told me this and the player told me this.
Look, I can tell you from experience... that a lot of the stuff that you hear in those broadcasts comes straight out of that meeting because they don't know otherwise.
Right.
I mean, they're doing a different game every week. They don't know, all right? And so they get nuggets dropped during the game. I mean, the week of the game. You know, they say, hey, tell me about this guy. And that's, you know, you know when you hear the guy, well, how does he know about his, you know, great uncle Leo and how he was coming up with the Falcon? I mean, because that's you know, the sports information people give that to them.
Right.
But the coaches give them some of that stuff. And it's valuable time. It's valuable time. You generally hear how they, unless it's Mike Vrabel, you generally hear how they really feel about people.
Yeah.
And so, I can't imagine any NFL team, let alone an AFC West rival, would be cool with him being in the room and giving him that kind of access.
I'm not really sure how it got to this point. It wasn't ideal that he wasn't in the room, but that felt like the only solution. Now that he is going to be allowed to participate in these meetings,
those meetings are going to suck.
They're going to, yeah. Kevin Burkhardt's not going to be getting very much from those meetings anymore.
It'll be like all of our meetings with Vrabel.
Yeah. It's like, you can ask the questions. We're not going to tell you anything. And, I mean, I guess the good news is that they're going to be calling 90% Cowboys games probably. So, you know, maybe Jerry won't care quite as much if they tell Tom Brady something. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, Titans going to make some waiver claims here. We are about 30 minutes past the top of the hour. We are waiting on an announcement for who the Titans have added to their 53-man roster. We will give you that news when we get it. Also, we mentioned the Rashee Rice, that the NFL was aiming for a 6-game suspension. They have now accepted a 6-game suspension. So Rashee Rice will not play for the first 6 games
of the
season.
I have a fantasy draft tonight, and I'm really glad that came out today.
Yes, I have not had a fantasy draft yet, so I'm very glad that that I did not have to decide that before we found out this news. So Rashee Rice out until week 7 against the Raiders. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. As Terry McCormick so nicely puts on X, waiver claims are being processed now. Titans are first in line. Why can't they just text Roger Goodell the names of the guys they want and announce it? Seems simple enough. It is 11:27.
I told you it would not happen that way.
I thought it was going to happen almost immediately. But
nope.
You know, we will wait and maybe get some news coming up here before the end of the show. 615-737-1025. Jay Kleiman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jay Kleiman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you for a couple more segments. Chase and Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. I thought we were going to get some time here to react to the Titans waiver claims, but it might end up slipping into Chase and Big Joe's show. We still have not heard who the Titans claimed. Again, the Titans have the number one waiver wire priority. And
Operation Secret Squirrel.
Yes, it is very top secret right now who the Titans claimed. And again, as we've mentioned a couple times throughout the show, this isn't like fantasy football. Whoever the Titans claim they've got, so at least that part should be easy. Maybe the rest of the league's hard. Can the Titans just announce theirs? Like, can they just throw that out there and say, hey, we claim these guys, we got all of them?
I mean, they could claim whatever. I mean, they could text out whatever they want.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be true, they could text that out.
We're waiting on the Jim Wyatt article letting us know.
I know this. The Titans will not release any information before it goes through the league office and is rubber stamped, boom, done,
right.
Official. They are not going to put out anything before it's official.
No, for sure. And
I'm not saying they're wrong for that, but I'm just saying that I know that's the way it is done.
Now that we've gotten past the bottom of the hour, I'm starting to think maybe we won't get these claims until noon. So, again, keep it tuned right here. If it's not us reacting, it'll be Chase and Big Joe. Again, Titans expected to make multiple waiver claims as they have the top priority. And Mike Borgonzi going to speak to the media tomorrow right around 10 a.m. So you can listen to that right here on the show. We will carry that live tomorrow as he talks about cutting the roster down to 53 and the subsequent waiver claims that are made. We did mention Kendrick Bourne was released by the Patriots. And Corey, you were going through their receiver room. Mike Vrabel has never really been one to put a whole lot of high priority on wide receiver, and it seems like he's carried that over to New England. They had some names that I have never heard of that have made their wide receiver room. They do have Stephon Diggs there. They do have Kyle Williams, who was a former Cam Ward teammate at Washington State.
How much does Diggs have left?
Not a lot.
I mean, he's your one.
I think he'd rather be on a boat.
So, we've heard of Kayshon Boutte.
Right, who was very talented guy out of LSU, just really hasn't channeled that all that well.
Yeah, Racy McMath was a talented guy out of LSU, too.
Correct.
Pop Douglas, it's a name we've all heard before, but maybe not in an NFL game.
Right.
But we heard coming in. Mac Hollins, who we've seen make plays in the NFL, but is it largely a special teams player.
Against the Titans with the Raiders, he had himself a day a couple of years ago.
Yeah. But again, this is not a 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
Kyle Williams.
Third-round pick. Solid player.
From Washington State. Yeah, that's a player that a lot of Titans fans
Right. Former teammate of Cam Ward.
So that's a guy, that, you know, he's a developmental piece. We'll see what he's got there. So we won't condemn that one. Eftim Chisholm III, which I find it interesting that there were Eftim Chisholms the first and second.
Oh.
But this is Eftim Chisholm the third.
A family name.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. Because if somebody just tags the third on the end of their name, that's weird.
Yep.
And Javon Baker.
Javon Baker, who, again, kind of a trendy name out of UCF last year, hasn't really made some plays. We do have waiver claims. They came down. Four players have been claimed by the Titans. We do not have all the names quite yet. We do have one.
Okay.
The Titans have claimed cornerback Jalen Armour Davis from Baltimore. So a guy we talked about, familiar with Denard Wilson,
sure.
Makes a lot of sense. And we said corner was going to be one of the big spots the Titans go after. I said four total. That is how many the Titans claimed. The Titans claimed four players off waivers.
They did, but you could say five. Right, with Shai Tuttle last night.
So there will be five new players who were not on the initial 53 that will be on the Titans roster. One of them will be Jalen Armour Davis, the cornerback from Baltimore. Honestly, would it surprise you if they claimed Armour Davis and Juju Brents?
No, we talked about that. We talked about that they could take two corners, and we expect Gabe Judulalii to go down to the practice squad, and then you could have five and six corners if you wanted. Now, again, Mike Borgonzi has put a major value on availability. So if you know he may look at Juju Brents and just say, like the player, don't like the injury history, don't want to burn a roster spot on a guy that we don't trust. Paul Kaharski tweeting out the Titans have claimed four players in all.
Yes. Paul Kaharski has the Jalen Armour Davis news, too. Okay. I believe he's the only one I've seen that has put that out. Teron Davenport also putting out Titans have claimed four players. Names coming soon. So we do know it's four. The corresponding moves is what they're working out now. I think you can make the assumption that Gabe Judulalii probably is going to be released or waived, and they'd probably like him back on the practice squad. Jalen Armour Davis would take his spot. I think two of your three tackles that you kept at the bottom of the roster are probably going to be waived as well. So Brandon Crenshaw, Dixon, John Ojukwu, I'd make the guess would probably be.
Yeah, it's you know, you're looking at Ojukwu, Udo.
Ali Udo. Who do they worry about losing more? Yeah. And Ali Udo would not go through waivers.
Udo came in when Moore went down.
Atlanta. And he was starting in place of J.C. Latham against Minnesota last week.
And that's on the right side, so that's both sides. So he's your number one swing tackle.
I would think Ali Udo is safe.
Yes.
They keep nine offensive linemen, and you see Ojukwu, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, Gabe Judulalii get released, and then it kind of just depends.
They get picked up.
So you'd have to release two other guys. I think it would be two of these three between Timmy Horn, Jalen Harrell, Curtis Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. You would have your 53. Titans have claimed four players. Jalen Armour Davis from Baltimore is one of them. And I know he's had some injury issues. I believe he's coming out of Alabama, which is Alabama defensive backs. The Ravens love those kind of guys.
Alabama's put some people in the NFL the last few years.
Have they? It's
my deep research says says they've had a few NFL players.
Jalen Armour Davis has struggled to stay on the field. In his three seasons with Baltimore, he played four games as a rookie, eight in his second year, seven last year with two starts.
That makes him a very surprising signing then.
Right. He has not been able to stay on the field much. But again, this is a guy who's going to be your fifth or sixth corner. And he's long, 6'1", 200 pounds. You need outside corner help.
Yeah.
You feel good about the nickel spot because, like, Roger McCreary is your starting nickel. Jarvis Brownlee is played inside. Marcus Harris can play inside. Like, I think you feel okay about that.
I also think Kevin Winston can play some inside
right.
for you.
Yeah, he could be your big nickel if you need him to be. So I think Armour Davis kind of fills a need as a depth outside cornerback. Maybe they add another one. The only player that we've seen is Jalen Armour Davis.
Look, one's got to be an edge, all right?
We've got another one from Paul Kaharsky.
Okay.
Another defensive back, Samuel Womack, has been claimed by the Tennessee Titans.
That's not a name that came up.
That's not a name I've seen. Samuel Womack, he has played 3 years with San Francisco and Indianapolis. He actually started 8 games last year for Indy, played all 17, had 2 interceptions, and 9 passes defended last year.
Okay.
So not a name you're familiar with, maybe. But
no, I'm not.
Former fifth-round pick out of Toledo, and he actually had a pretty good year last year. So the Titans do claim a cornerback who most recently spent time with Indianapolis, maybe not the one we were expecting, but 17 games played last year.
There you go.
8 starts, 2 interceptions.
What's his measurables?
He is 5'10", 189. So
okay, so he's a smaller guy.
Smaller guy. So Titans have claimed 2 defensive backs,
One plays the outside.
Inside, one outside. And
that's not surprising.
Yes. So there you go. We have 2 of the 4 waiver claims in. Jalen Armour Davis and Samuel Womack have been claimed, both in the defensive backfield.
And we would both bet the pot that that one of the next two is going to be an edge.
Edge rusher, and then, you know, dealer's choice for the last one. It could be an inside linebacker. It could be an offensive player.
It could be 2 edges.
Right, you could go 2 on the edge where you are thin.
And maybe it's a quarterback.
Could be a quarterback.
We don't think it's going to be, but
right.
I mean, when Taylor Heineke's on the table, you can't do that.
Right, we were asked earlier what would be the most surprising move that realistically could happen today. Mm-hmm. It would be the Titans claiming a quarterback and cutting Brandon Allen. So we will see. We now have 2 of the 4 waiver claims that the Titans have made locked in. Samuel Womack, Jalen Armour Davis have been claimed, both defensive backs, strengthening up the secondary. We will take a break. We'll see if Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com can get the other 2 while we're gone. One more segment coming up on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Finishing up the show on this Wednesday, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Titans waiver claims are trickling in. We know that the Titans have claimed 4 players with their number one waiver priority. 2 of them have been announced, both defensive backs. Jalen Armour Davis, the cornerback, 6'1" from the Ravens. Samuel Womack, 5'10", 189, coming over from the Colts. Womack did play outside last year.
I realize people are excited about this, and I know this is our job, but I mean, this is basically about being excited about what kind of donuts get thrown out in the day-old donuts.
Right. We make a big deal out of this because the Titans do have the number one waiver claim, and that helps you build depth. But
hey, there's a Boston cream in here. I haven't eaten today.
You really, really hope that neither of these guys see the field all that much.
Ever.
This is good because if one of these guys does hit and can turn into a good fourth cornerback, like Daryl Baker did.
Yes, if you get Daryl Baker, that is outstanding. But you know what? We really hope Daryl Baker never had to play last year, but he did because the 2 starters were hurt the whole year.
And this is important because we went through this with TD yesterday, and I said I found 46 guys that I think were worthy of making an NFL roster on this team. So in order to build out the depth and feel good if and when injuries do happen, you do need players like this, like a Jalen Armour Davis.
And you got to keep churning.
Right.
I mean, the Seahawks famously did this, where they just went through tons of players when they were rebuilding under Pete Carroll. They would just bring player after player after player, and just to see until they found some that worked. And, you know, the Titans have to do a lot of that. They just have to, you know, if your bodies aren't good enough, move on and find another one. And if that one's not good enough, move on. I mean, that's the cold-hearted nature of this business. And, you know, we're talking about it at the end of the roster, but, I mean, that's the way it goes for quarterback.
Yeah.
All right? You know, Cam Ward's got, like, 2 years to prove he's the guy.
Yep.
If not, the Titans just have to say, move on. Will Levis got 1 year.
Yep.
He got 1 year, and it was move on. We got to go to the next one.
If you're a first-round pick, you likely get 2 years, unless it's just absolutely horrible.
Yep.
But if you're not a first-round pick, you got 1 year to prove it, and then the team has to go find somebody else.
And sometimes it's a week. All right. And, yeah. I mean, seriously, I mean, right. Ramel Keaton, how long was he here? Not long.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, so, but again, and it's about taking a look and seeing what you got, because once in a while, you do catch a Daryl Baker who winds up being a pretty good player. And sometimes it's fit. Sometimes it's fit for your defense, fit for your offense. And that guy just didn't fit at the other team. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And so, you know, while I'm all about the process, forgive me if I'm not going to do cartwheels over the guys they claim from the waiver wire. I am not that on pins and needles about it. I'm intrigued by it. Okay.
Right.
I'm intrigued by it because, you know, hope these guys work out. But, you know, I'd much rather see a UDFA come in, you know, day one.
Right.
And you go, wow, that guy's a player. I mean, because that happens.
Because another team hasn't already given up on them already,
yeah.
Which we actually have a third waiver claim.
Okay. Here we go.
From the Minnesota Vikings. So the Titans got to see him last week.
All right.
Linebacker Dorian Mossy is coming in. He is 6'1", 234 pounds.
So inside linebacker.
I believe so.
No, he would not be an outside. The team would not sign someone that size to play the outside.
He is an undrafted free agent this year out of Auburn. He spent 3 years at Duke before transferring to Auburn.
Okay.
He finished last season with Auburn with 81 tackles, 9 for loss, 2.5 sacks, and a forced fumble.
You wonder if he's a special teams player.
Yep.
But I said they needed depth at that spot. And just because they sign him, I don't think that automatically means Jacobs is gone.
Right.
Now, he very well could be, but I don't think it's automatic. They may want to keep 5. So we'll see.
I think that makes it pretty clear that the last waiver claim is going to be a pass rusher.
You would hope. It better be.
You would hope.
If not, Jalen Harrell needs to go buy a lottery ticket tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Jalen Harrell, if he's able to stick there as the fifth pass rusher,
And I don't hate Jalen Harrell.
No, me neither. But I think you can find somebody.
The team needs more.
Right.
They need more.
Like Jalen Harrell, and not specifically Antoine Powell-Ryland, but he's the name that's been brought up. Like Jalen Harrell was a 7th-round pick last year. Mm-hmm. I believe Antoine Powell-Ryland was a 5th-round pick this year. So it's like you got a guy who you've seen less of
mm-hmm.
and was picked higher.
What's the upside?
Yes.
What's the upside?
And it looks like maybe we have our last one. It's an offensive lineman.
Wow. That would be one of the least expected.
There's a chance this isn't a waiver claim.
Okay.
It might be a practice squad signing. This
okay.
is from Chris Thomason of the Denver Gazette saying offensive lineman Clay Webb, recently waived by the Broncos, is not going to their practice squad, going to the Tennessee Titans. So I'm not sure if that's the last waiver claim
okay.
or not. It might be a Titans had an in with him and got him to come sign.
Well, and what year player is he? Is he a release or a wave?
I believe he is a wave, yes. Guard, undrafted rookie out of Georgia and Jacksonville State.
Okay.
So,
you know,
I don't know if that's a claim. I would think it's not a claim.
No, they've already got a rookie guard in Jackson Slater. I can't imagine they want a second rookie guard.
I would guess that
roster.
Is a practice squad thing,
yes.
And maybe the Broncos wanted him back and the Titans offered him
more money
or yep. something like that. Who knows? But as of now,
he also could look at Kevin Zeitler and know he's short for the team.
That's true.
And
see the opportunity with the Broncos having one of the better interior offensive lines.
I'm thinking I can beat out Jackson Slater.
Yeah.
Which I'd say might not be that easy because I think Jackson Slater can play.
Yeah. For sure. We've got 3 of the 4 waiver claims confirmed for the Titans. From Paul Kaharsky reporting, defensive backs Jalen Armour-Davis from the Ravens, Samuel Womack from the Colts, both have been claimed by the Titans. Tom Pelissero reporting that the Titans have claimed linebacker Dorian Mossy off waivers from the Vikings. So there is one more spot that is still out there. Again, we're assuming it's an edge rusher. But who knows? I mean, maybe they feel better about Jalen Harrell than we do over there at St. Thomas Sports Park. But the Titans are filling in the depth, and we'll see if there's any surprises here as we wait for the last one. I would think, based on the cuts or the claims we've seen so far, Gabe Judy-Lawley's gone, and the 2 offensive linemen, Curtis Jacobs and Jalen Harrell, I think, are the 2 that are
We have to wait and see. And again, right. All of these guys are very likely to wind up on the practice squad.
Right, for sure. The reason
while we
they
say
kept
they're
them,
gone,
yes.
you know, they're gone but not forgotten, okay? And now another team could scoop them up. That's possible.
Right.
But the Titans were the worst team in football last year, and so not a lot of people should be shopping in your store, okay, because you were the worst team. And if you're the worst team, generally the back end of your roster is not good.
Yes.
All right? So I know during the summer we were talking about the waiver claims, and people kept asking me, why are the Titans looking at former Patriots and former this and former that? And I'm like, well, because those teams are as bad as they are, and they're churning over their roster, and
right.
those are the only teams releasing players right now.
Yes.
Because they're churning it over. And so that's what you saw in the summer. Now is the chance when Baltimore's store is open. All right, the Rams store is open, you know, and that's exciting. The Eagles store is open, all right? So you get to go in and look at their guys, and that's a big, big difference. The Titans store should not be exciting to anyone.
Well, and we usually judge teams' roster depth by how many, like, you get 53 on your roster, how many of the guys you cut get claimed elsewhere? I would guess the Titans, maybe one. If that, and before we get out of here, Mike Garafolo reporting the Patriots have claimed Tommy DeVito.
Wow.
Yep.
Have they claimed Josh Wiley?
I have not seen that yet, but Tommy Cutlets is going to the Patriots. We're getting a
lot.
Who
was their backup?
They cut some guy I never heard of.
Yeah.
Who was starting in their last one. Okay, here we go. Waiver claims in full before we get out of here. Tennessee
right.
claiming Jalen Armour-Davis, Darian Mossy, C.J. Revenell, a defensive end out of Missouri Western from Baltimore. I'm probably butchering that name. C.J. Revenell is the fourth waiver claim that we did not get to there.
What
so,
position is he?
Defensive end.
Okay.
Out of Missouri Western. Let's see.
And he's from Baltimore.
He is
so
from Baltimore.
We went to the Ravens store, which is a good store to shop in.
Yes. Undrafted guy. I don't believe he's played yet, but he's 25, so I think he's at least been in the leagues. 6'5", 300 pounds.
And he's an edge?
It says defensive end.
Okay.
So maybe more of a...
Lineman. Yes. He's more of a Jeffrey Simmons, Sebastian Joseph
yes.
Day.
Yes. So they're... There are your four waiver claims for the Titans.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Jalen Armour-Davis, Darian Mossy, C.J. Revenell, Samuel Womack, and
so they had two guys on the defensive line. When you look at last night
with Shai Tuttle,
that's
and
interesting.
Miami claimed Juju Brents. New Orleans claimed Trey Palmer. Looking, no Titans were claimed. Chad Muma to the Colts.
Oh, man.
No Titans were claimed off waivers. So everybody.
Vrabel didn't bite on any of those guys?
Josh Wiley made it through. The Patriots claimed Tommy DeVito and Charles Woods from the Rams.
Well, look, he didn't claim those guys, but I'll bet some of them wind up on the practice squad.
Yeah, that it's possible that they poach them because I don't know if Wiley would come back.
At least one of them goes on the practice squad.
So there you go. Those are your waiver claims. Chase and Big Joe are going to have plenty of reaction coming up next. Corey, thanks for hopping on.
All right, I think I'll be back next Wednesday as well.
Love it. Having Corey on as much as we possibly can, and make sure to tune in News 2 all weekend long for great college football.
10:30 pregame show, Vols Syracuse at 11.
Love it. For Parker Kelly and Corey Curtis, I'm signing off. I'm Jake Lyman. Chase and Big Joe coming up next year on 102.5 The Game.